Chapter 12, where we left off last Sunday. Romans 12, we're going to spend our entire morning primarily on verse 12 and finish it, but cross-reference many references to Romans 12, verse 12. Let me read the text for you again. The Bible says these words concerning the characteristics of the Christian life: rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, as we think about this text and how challenging it is, we pray for grace in time of need to help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, this morning, help us to understand your word. In Christ's name, amen. It is said that Beethoven is surpassed in his painstaking fidelity, or we call faithfulness, to his music. Hardly a bar of his work was not written and rewritten at least a dozen times. Joseph Haydn, through much hardships, produced over 800 musical compositions, and at the age of 66, the world was that matchless oratory, the creation. Michelangelo's Last Judgment, one of the 12 master paintings of the ages, was the product of 8 years of unremitting toil. Over 2,000 studies of it were found among his papers. Leonardo da Vinci worked on the Last Supper for 10 years and was so absorbed he forgot to eat for whole days. Schumann, Heinck's parents were so poor they could not afford a good piano, but a dilapidated old one. For 20 years, she fought off poverty to become one of the world's greatest singers. What do we learn from Beethoven and Haydn and Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci? We learn this lesson in a human way of just perseverance, working through something to accomplish a great thing. This morning, I'd like to discuss a topic that I would say, in my opinion, is one of the hardest Christian characteristics slash virtues in your Bible. And we're going to try to discuss it today. Let's look at Romans 12, 12. We're looking at simply the topic, and I've entitled it Perseverance. Rejoicing in hope, patient or persevering in tribulation. This morning, I want to look at the issue of perseverance and ask a series of three questions. Let us begin. The first question we need to discuss is, what is perseverance? Now, Beethoven, Haydn, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, they had perseverance in these great musical and artistic projects. But we're looking this morning at perseverance in tribulation, which is slightly different than seeing a beautiful painting or hearing a masterpiece of music. So I am cognizant of that, but we're looking at the city of perseverance, and we need to define terms, so I'd like you to write these things down. The word patience, or you may see it in your Bible, perseverance, it's the same word, means literally this. It means to endure or persevere in spite of difficulty. So you're enduring or you're persevering in spite of some difficulty that has arisen. The Bible uses the word tribulation for the difficulty. Number two, almost a synonym of it, is the idea to continue to stand firm and endure despite opposition. So you're continuing to be strong, you're enduring or persevering, whatever the opposition, whatever the difficulty, and the Bible defines this difficulty as simply tribulation. It is something challenging. So I want to give you two cross-references on this. This word is used multiple times in your New Testament, but I want to show you the one in James chapter 1 to begin with. And James chapter 1 is probably one of the most famous uses of this word, because in James chapter 1 and verse 12, we see how the writer James applied this word tribulation or difficulty in life. James 1:12 says it this way: "Blessed is the man that endureth." There's the word. He endures, he perseveres, temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So the man who endures, who perseveres through this temptation, is crowned. He's rewarded. The second verse I want you to look at is actually close to James. It's actually in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Timothy 2:10. Exact same use of the word. Matter of fact, it's the same word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 10. You know, I like this verse because it's like, I don't know if you get more clear than this. 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul is talking about his life as it relates to perseverance or endurance, however we want to say that. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I, referring to the writer Paul, therefore I, Paul, endure all things. I mean, that should almost just like stop us in our tracks when we read it. This man's DNA said, I'm not stopping. If you read his letters, he talks about being shipwrecked, about being stoned, about being beaten. He just decided in his mind, I endure everything, and he would not give up. Now, he did this for the gospel. I want you to follow with me. I want you to see this with your eyes because I don't want to make up some pie in the sky stuff. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. As a faithful thing, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He decided, I'm going to endure whether it's suffering or whatever it is, denial. I will not give up. I endure all things. Now, this is challenging to say the least. So we need to talk about several things here. When we deal with the issue of perseverance, I would guess that that's probably not one of the top things we think about we want to accomplish in life is persevering. But I want to give you three thoughts you should probably write down concerning perseverance. When we deal with the issue of perseverance, we could use the word endurance or patience. I like all of them are good synonyms. We're patiently enduring some difficulty. I have three things in my notes I think that are helpful for us. The first one is this. Concerning perseverance, and you can, these are my things. It's not an issue of feelings, otherwise we would give up. Perseverance is not an issue of feelings, otherwise we will give up. Maybe another way I can say that is this. When we look inward to how I'm feeling, there's deception in our feelings and we're oftentimes going to get bad counsel. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs, we should not trust our heart because our heart can lie to us, okay? So concerning perseverance, it's not an issue of feelings, otherwise we will want to give up. Number two, concerning perseverance, it's not an issue of circumstances, otherwise we will want to quit. I want you to think about that. If we always looked at our circumstances and we always... And I'm cautious to even say this, but I have to do this. If we always say, oh, the circumstances are whatever they are, okay, and that means I have to quit, well, then Christians would be quitting all over the world because circumstances many times are not good. Now, I'm not saying the Lord isn't directing your steps to get another job. That's not what Pastor is saying. But you know what I'm saying. If we always look to circumstances to be our guide, we're going to quit 9 times out of 10. Concerning perseverance, it's not an issue of feelings, otherwise we'll give up. It's not an issue of circumstances or we'll want to quit. Number three, perseverance is not an issue of worldly advice, otherwise we will move on. The world's advice many times is move on. Move on. And you and I know that. And we know it way too well. And I'm going to just, I want to be gentle here because this is so sensitive of a topic. And I don't want to cause anything, but when we deal with relationships, this is the world's advice all the time. Instead of working through marriage and family issues, people check out. Don't do that. You work through things, you persevere through them. Believers, as one writer said, are to be patient, being steadfast, having endurance. Here's how I understand it in my mind. If you are walking with the Lord Jesus in obedience to his word, you're not sinning, you decide in your mind, Lord, unless you move me on or unless you change what's ever happening, I will walk through this. And that is a rare breed in the world today, but it's something we need to get back to the Bible on. So the first question is, what is perseverance? And that is endurance, it's patience, it's this idea of walking through a challenging time steadfastly. Number two, well, what is tribulation? Because in the context here, he's saying we're enduring tribulation, not just I'm enduring, you know, a bad night's rest or something, which how bad that is, but we're enduring tribulation. So in tribulation, we see here the word in Romans 12:12. Says that we are patient in tribulation, we're persevering in tribulation, we're continuing in tribulation. Tribulation, you can write this down, means literally this. It means distress, it means trouble. Something is wrong. You're enduring this distress, you're enduring this trouble, you're enduring this tribulation. And I want to qualify this, okay? And this is good for us to stop and think. We use words today very loosely, and that's bad. That's very bad. We need to think. Paul is not talking about the small things, like, oh, I had a tough day on the lawnmower. That's not what he's talking about. This is a trouble. This is a trial. This is a tribulation. This isn't stubbing your toe at night when you're going to the bathroom. Do you see what I'm saying? I know that's silliness. But I say that in some sarcasm, but if you listen to people today, they think, I had a bad week and my world has crashed. No. No. You're fine. Do you see what I'm saying? Everybody know what I'm saying? I could get more detail, but I'm trying to be very vague. Okay, this is tribulation. This is you're being persecuted for your Christian. This is your life may be ending right now. This is what we're talking about, okay? This is on another level. So he says in tribulation, this affliction, this trouble, this distress, whatever it may be, it has come upon you, and it is your calling to be patiently enduring through it. So I want to do two things here. I want you to look at several references in the New Testament that deal with this issue, and I want to give you a series of applications on this point before I get into point number three. So I want you to see what the New Testament has to say about this. So this is bigger than just some minor little infraction. This is tribulation in the Christian's life, caused because you're a believer. Matthew chapter 5 gives us our first reference. I want you to see the Lord Jesus' take on the issue of tribulation, trials, persecution. I'm using those as synonyms this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 picks up the last part of the Beatitudes, and I want you to hear how Jesus addresses the issue. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So they are in tribulation because of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So this person is being persecuted and slandered. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So stop for a second. Think about what Jesus is saying. As you are persevering through this tribulation of slander and physical persecution, the focus in verse 12 is great is your reward in heaven. The focus of verse 10, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you see what Jesus has done? He is saying how you focus and get through the tribulation or the persecution of what Jesus is saying is you focus on eternal issues. Now, this is very important. I like to watch every once in a while survival stuff, and it's fun. You guys probably watch those too. I like Bear Grylls the best. Does anybody know who that is? We got some witnesses. Great. Okay. But I'm not going to get into a snowball because I think he's one of the better ones. But you know what I like? He shows you how to survive in the wild with, what does he have, a knife and a flint and a canteen? I think it's like three things, but anyways. So he's surviving out in the wild, and he's telling you what to do. Well, if you guys ever went through survival school or you've read survival stuff or you've watched survival stuff, do you know what they tell you to do? Something key. You don't overpromise. So if you have a group of people with you and you're out in the woods and it doesn't look good, you don't say, oh, I know there's water on the other side of that hill, because you don't know. You don't know, so you never overpromise. What do? Some people may only be able to go 5 minutes more. Some people can go 5 hours more. Some people may be able to just, they want to drop right there. So you see, let's do small goals. Let's go over here to this. Let's just go over here to this other rising or this tree. What do? You set small goals. You get their perspective off of their pain. Let's reach this goal. Then let's go another goal, and you don't overpromise. You know what Jesus is saying? Let's get your eyes on heaven and on the reward in heaven. Let's not look at the problem. Let's go to the next one. The next one. Jesus says this in Matthew 5. Go to John 15. John 15. This is Jesus in the upper room talking to his disciples right before the cross. He is very close to the cross. This is his last instruction to his men before he would die. John 15, verse 20 says it this way. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. You know what Jesus has done? He said, here's the deal, boys. Yeah, keep a heavenly perspective, but don't be shocked when the tribulation happens or the persecution because they hated me to start with. He's helping them to normalize this tribulation is the reality of Christianity. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's see what Paul has to talk about the same issue. 2 Corinthians 4. Now, this one is so shocking, it almost takes your breath away. And I'm being honest, Pastor Aaron is not here yet. So you pray for me and I'll pray for you. But 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul said the same thing the Lord Jesus, but he's given us a teeny bit more context. You know what he just said? He called tribulation light affliction. He called it temporary for a moment. I want you to stop and think. I have failed on this before because I have consumed myself with what Paul said a light affliction is in moment and did myself no good. He closes by saying things which are temporal. He doesn't want us to focus on those in verse 18. He wants us to focus on things that are eternal. So once you think about what's happening here, patiently, steadfastly, enduring tribulation, legitimate tribulation, is to keep our eyes, have an eternal focus on heaven and its reward. Let me give you another one. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, another right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I love this one. This is really cool, and because I want to back up in the text to verse number 1 and go through verse number 4, okay? 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 4. As you're turning there, I need to give you some context. The church in Thessalonica is the model church. Like, with a few exceptions of some issues they were having, they're the model church. But they were started under affliction. And Paul references that. Listen to what he says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, that's Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of God, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Oh, before I read verse 4, I want to stop. Here's what's happening. Listen up, this is really cool stuff. So in the book of Acts, Paul's traveling on a missionary journey, stops in Thessalonica. Things are going great. People receive Christ as their Savior. The church's birth. The Bible studies there's 3 Sabbath days, but he had to unfortunately leave because of affliction to go to another city. And so they sent Timothy back to comfort them and to edify them in the things of the Lord. And he says in verse 4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Even as it came to pass, and you know what's astounding to me? He's there 3 Sabbath days, and the issue of tribulation was part of his teaching. Does that like shock your mind? Like this was so normal to Paul that his 3 weeks or however long he was there was part of his normal teaching. Man, maybe that doesn't shock you, but I've listened to a lot of sermons, and I can guarantee you this is not in the top 10%. Because this is it's a different way of looking at Christianity. Okay? Let me give you 2 more references. Just think about these. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, 12. I want to just show you 2 more references just so you see this. 2 Timothy 3, 12. The Bible says these words. This is powerful. 2 Timothy 3, 12. Now Paul's now writing to Timothy. He's mentioned this to the church in Corinth, which had challenges. He's mentioned this to Thessalonian church, which was started under affliction. He's mentioned this now to Timothy as he's in prison getting ready to die for the faith. 2 Timothy 3, 12 says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So the question is, are we suffering for the Lord? I want you to think about this. This is powerful. Everyone following Christ has a target from Satan on them. We should be asking ourselves these questions. Peter gives it maybe a little bit more of a softer approach. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him, and well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So if we were to summarize these verses, you can just summarize them this well. Jesus' perspective was, you are blessed, look to heaven. Jesus' perspective in John 15 was, this was normal. Paul's perspective in 2 Corinthians 4 was, it's light and it's temporary. Paul's perspective to the Thessalonians was this was Christianity 101. Paul's perspective to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 was it happens to every Christian. Peter's perspective is that we commit our souls to Christ and leave the results in his hands. So at this time, I'm going to do something, and I'd like you to write these down if you're taking notes, because I'm going to be very, very honest with you. I am on this journey with you. In my perspective, there's a lot of things in the New Testament says to do. Pray, love, forgive, be thankful, be joyful. This is like the hardest. This one's hard. You want me to persevere in tribulation for the gospel's sake? Yes. So I'm going to give you a statement, and then I want to give you some application. I think this is helpful from a great Christian man. He said, such difficulties produce rich spiritual benefits. Such difficulties produce rich spiritual benefits. So I want to show you where he gets that from. Go with me back to the book of James and Romans 5. I'd like you to look at this because, trust me, this is reality of the Christian life. We all face this one way or the other, some more than others, depending on context. But James chapter 1, I want you to listen to James chapter 1. I'll start in verse 1. James, a servant of the Lord and a servant of God and of Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, listen to these words, count it or consider it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials, knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith, worketh, the word means produces patience. This patience or this endurance we need. So as our faith is tempted and tried, it produces more endurance. He says in verse 4, but let patience, which is the same word for endurance, have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 4 means when we have walked through the trial successfully, the perfect work of the trial produces Christian maturity. It produces endurance. It produces a complete work. And I'll have to say, I wish I would have, I'm growing in this area, and I hope you are as well. We could all step back right now, and if I was to ask every adult in here to grab a piece of paper and start making a list, I could almost guarantee most of us could come up with at least 6 different decisions we would do differently as we've grown in life. We're like, oh, I would not have made that decision now that I've matured as a man or a woman. Difficulty and trials have a work of sanctification in our lives. I want to give you the second one, Romans chapter 5. We love Romans chapter 5, and this is one of the great texts in all of the Bible because it deals with justification. Now, justification is God declaring you righteous. I like how one person said it. When you're forgiven of sin, you're given something. You should remember that. You're forgiven of sin, you're given Christ's righteousness. So look at Romans 5 with me. Therefore, being justified, meaning declared righteous by faith, that's in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice verse 3. And not only so, we don't only rejoice in the glory of God, but we glory in the tribulations, also knowing that the tribulation worketh or produces patience, or it produces endurance. And patience, experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is consistent in your New Testament. The tribulation and the response to the tribulation properly responded to produces Christian maturity. So here's what I'd like you to write down. Number one, if we are in this tribulation, we should ask the Lord Jesus this question: what are you trying to teach me in this tribulation. The other day, I was working with Naomi's grandfather on a project. I was trying to take some old wheels, tires off of a tiller and put some new ones on. But they were rusted on, so they did not want to come out. So we applied a torch to get those removed. And the grinder was involved as well. We did successfully get the first one off with some, it took some effort, to be very honest with you. That tire is no longer usable. And rim, it's trash. And so we went to do the second one. And he asked me, what can we learn from this? Meaning, we accomplished the second one a different way more quickly. Beloved, from my heart to yours, I'm telling you, this is the key that unlocks the door. If we are going through the trial and we're not in sin, this is a difficulty the Lord's put before us, we say, Lord Jesus, you have told me in your word that the tribulation produces this endurance, this patience, this maturity. What are you teaching me? Isn't that a good question? Lord, what are you teaching me? Second thing, we ask the Lord, what is he teaching us? Number two, we need to embrace what he's teaching us. I know this is rubbing us all really raw right now, but this is good, okay? Winter's coming. And I want to tell you a story that actually helped Pastor in a lot. I want to tell you two stories. One of them is kind of funny. I told you this before. I think when I was growing up in Tennessee, it would usually snow about three times a year. Man, I looked for it so much. I would pray for snow. I loved it. We'd go out and sled. We did crazy stuff. We had a lot of fun. Some of it was crazy, but we enjoyed it. And so I still kind of like winter and stuff. But many years ago, a pastor friend of mine who was from St. Paul, he's in Indiana now, he told me something. He said, Aaron, here's the deal. And he used some illustrations, and I'll paraphrase it. He said, you need to come in from outside with red, rosy cheeks and grab your hot chocolate. You know what he was telling me? Aaron, you have to embrace winter. And do you know why? Because many of you guys have lived here a lot longer than I have. Guess what? If you fight her, she's going to win every time because she's longer and more powerful than me. So just put the coat on, put the mittens on, put the snow boots on, and say, you know what, let's just go out and go sledding or skiing or whatever you like to do outside. Listen to me. Tribulation, we need to stop playing games and say, Lord, what are you teaching me? Secondly, we need to embrace whatever maturity he's trying to give us. And number three, we persevere through it. And we get on the other side of it. Yesterday, we were at a wedding yesterday, and I was having a conversation with an individual. We were talking about some ministry things. I was telling Naomi this morning, I'm talking to him, and it was like one of those times in life when you've had enough experience in ministry and you can actually talk to this person. And I say this in humility. And you've got experience. You're like, oh, I understand. I understand that what's going on here because I've walked through enough challenges myself. Let me give you the last point, and it's very quick, but you should write those things down. We should ask the Lord, what are you wanting to teach me and learn from it? Embrace whatever he's teaching you, and then persevere through it. Which gives me the last thing, because this is really what all of us want to know, because we're all thinking, Aaron, where is the exit sign in this verse? I know it's in there somewhere. Okay, so I'm glad you asked the question. So in Romans 12, look at the verse says, and I want you to look at it very closely with your eyes. The Bible says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue an instant in prayer. You'll notice there's three prepositions in that, in three statements or phrases in the verse. You'll also notice in this verse that each one of these phrases could be isolated, like I did last week and partly today, or they could all be seen together as a triplet. This is very, very, very important. So listen to these words, and I won't be long, I promise. Listen. The words could be translated this way: in hope, rejoicing; in tribulation, enduring; in prayer, persevering. Did you notice the difference how the phrase went? In hope, rejoicing; in tribulation, enduring; in prayer, persevering. When I look at this verse, here's how this verse like comes together in my mind. Look at the last few words of verse 12. Continue an instant in prayer. The words continue an instant are actually one word in the Greek. And it means to persist or to keep on with deep devotion. Continuing on in prayer in deep devotion. So here's how I understand persevering in tribulation. Number one, we have to rejoice in it. Because remember, the Bible says we rejoice in hope. Hope is, I'm rejoicing that Christ is going to return. He will. And I rejoice and he will keep his promise to finish the work of salvation, which is called glorification. Here's what this means. When you are saved from your sin, you hit phase one. In this life, if you're breathing right now, you're in phase two. You're in sanctification. When you get to heaven, you're in phase three, glorification. So when you're in the trial and the heat's on and the pressure is on, by the way, tribulation means pressure. When the pressure's on, you say, wait a second, Lord, you have promised that you're going to return and you've promised you're going to complete the salvation in me. And it gives you hope to rejoice in Christ. The second thing I think we should do when we're in tribulation, besides asking what the Lord's teaching us and enduring, is we do this. We continue in prayer. We never stop praying. So let me give you two illustrations from this, and then I'll give you two other quick stories. Paul, he's in the Philippian jail. It's midnight. Him and Silas, they've just been whipped. What do? They rejoice. An earthquake comes, and God does a miracle. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane going to take upon sin on the cross. What is he doing? He's in prayer. So the New Testament is telling us, if you're walking through tribulation, yes, ask the Lord, what are you teaching me? Yes, embrace the maturity. Yes, go through that perseveringly. But we do the persevering side through prayer and rejoicing. Now, there's a little article, it's entitled Go On, and it says this: one step won't take you very far, you've got to keep on walking. One word won't tell folks who you are, you've got to keep on talking. One inch won't make you very tall, you've got to keep on growing. One deed won't do it all, you've got to keep on going. So here's what I want to tell you by summary, and I'm saving this for the end. Do you know how this is accomplished? Every day, you have to live in grace. Every day, you're dependent on God's grace. Say, Lord, I need your grace. Lord Jesus, I trust you today. That's called faith. I need your grace. I need your faith. Lord Jesus, help me today. I'm not here preaching a little pep talk. You do it all on your own, because sometimes we can't even pull the bootstraps up our own. We, by grace, Christ in you, the hope of glory, we do it by grace, by faith, one day at a time. So I want to give you this quick poem. And it teaches a point. Some of you who grew up on the farm may know this. It's from T.C. Hamlet. Two frogs fill in a can of cream, or so I've been told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, croaked number one. 'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends, goodbye, sad world. And weeping still, he drowned. But number two, a sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise, the while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. I'll swim a while, at least he said, or so I've heard it, he said. It really won't help the world if one more frog were dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam, not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and kicked and swam and kicked, then hopped out via butter. You know what the Lord is telling us to do? Just keep churning the butter. Just keep churning the butter. Don't give up. And you know what? I want to be just, this isn't part of my notes, so I want to stop and just talk to you. I want to tell you honestly, what I said a minute ago is true, and we're going to close. You have to every day ask the Lord for help. He's gracious. The Bible calls God the God of all grace. Every day, Lord Jesus, every day help me. Let's pray together. Lord, we find ourselves, I think, in this verse all the time. So, Lord, I'm just going to ask for us as a body of Christ these things. First of all, forgive. Forgive me. For giving up so soon when you were trying to do some sanctifying work in my life and I didn't understand it. Secondly, Lord, help us all in this room to persevere in the tribulations for the gospel's sake. Not give in. I pray that you'd produce this sanctifying work in all of our lives that is beautiful, that is glorious. And Lord, there may be some of us in this room who are just struggling so much because we're right in the middle of the tribulation, whatever it may be. I'm praying today that you would give them just the comfort of your grace and the strength in their lives to take another step. So Lord, I'm going to ask something bold. I pray for us today that you would give us the courage to obey this passage. And in 3 months, 3 years, 30 years from now, we would look back and we would say, God changed my life because I walked through the trials one step at a time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for listening so well today. We've got number 502, number 502. What an appropriate way to close our service, 502.